بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. So for the last few weeks we have been discussing different aspects of salah. And firstly we discussed the importance of performing salah regularly. Thereafter the importance and the benefits of performing it with jama'ah. And we also mentioned within that some virtues of jama'ah, some methods how a person, if he is struggling, he performs salah with jama'ah. Now today we will discuss the salah itself. How do we make the salah itself full of quality? So the first thing we must understand is that the purpose, the objective, and the soul of salah is the dhikr and remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala himself says, he was addressing Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, but the message applies to everyone, that wa aqimi salata li dhikri. Establish salah. Why? لِذِكْرِي to remember me. So the secret, you can say, the purpose of salah is that a person remembers Allah Ta'ala. So the more your salah has the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala inside, the better the salah. And the more deficient your salah is in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the lower the quality of your salah becomes. In another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab." Recite the Quran which has been revealed to you. One command. And the other command, "Wa aqimis salah." And establish salah. Perform salah correctly. What do both of these commands have in common? The tilawah of the Quran is also the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. In fact, most of the ulama of the opinion, if not all, that the tilawah of the Quran is the best form of the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Out of all the different verbal forms of dhikr, tasbih, durood, istighfar, and tilawah is the best form. So tilawah is the best form of the verbal dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Wa aqimi salah, establish salah. Salah is also a form of the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, but salah is unique. As opposed to the other forms of the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, salah is unique because the other forms of the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, tilawah, tasbih, istighfar, tahmid, all of these have a verbal aspect. Salah has a physical and a verbal aspect. And both of them are part of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter, what does Allah Ta'ala say? Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Definitely salah stops a person, prevents a person from all types of evil deeds. And we discussed this, that if a person performs salah and he performs it with quality, then as the quality of his salah increases, the effect of that will be that the disobedience of Allah in his life will decrease. That is the effect of salah. And thereafter, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The dhikr and the remembrance of Allah ta'ala is the greatest thing. What is Allah Ta'ala trying to tell us? That if you want to make your salah great, then you bring the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala inside it. The more the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, the greater your salah becomes. And the greater your salah becomes, the more the effect of the salah will become apparent, that other misdeeds and other wrongs in your life will decrease. So now we have understood this purpose of salah. Now the next thing we must understand is that salah is composite. It is made up of three different aspects of the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. One is verbal, the other is physical, and the third is mental. One is connected to the tongue, the other is connected to the physical limbs, and the third is connected to the mind and heart. The physical aspect of salah, this is also dhikr. Every single action you do in salah, you might not feel that I am remembering Allah Ta'ala. When I laid my hand, I'm doing it because I was taught like this. No, you were taught like this, but you are doing it because you know it is the command of Allah Ta'ala. You know that Allah Ta'ala is pleased like this. And if we go further into the detail, you are lifting your hands straight up. Instead of lifting them towards your face, you are lifting them up towards the Qibla. So you are doing it like this because you know this pleases Allah Ta'ala more. So whether you realize it or not, every single action of salah is a remembrance of Allah. You might say, oh, it's just become a habit. That habit is still out of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Because if it wasn't the command of Allah Ta'ala, if it wasn't the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, you wouldn't do it. The fact that you are doing it is because you want to please Allah Ta'ala. So whether you realize it or not, at that time you are remembering Allah Ta'ala. So every single physical aspect of salah is a form of physical remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. That also follows on from there, that the more you perfect the physical aspects of your salah, the more you perfect your takbir tahreema, your qiyam, your ruku, your sajda, the higher your salah becomes in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And we have already begun the discussions on that, some practical aspects of that as well. That is one aspect. The second aspect is the verbal aspect of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, which starts with the first Allahu Akbar, and then different forms of zikr, thana, a'udhu, bismillah, tilawa, takbir, tasbih, and so forth, at-tahiyyat, all the way till the end. These are all verbal forms of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. This as well, the more you perfect these, the more you improve the quality of these, the greater your salah becomes in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Now we will have a separate discussion on the verbal aspect. And the reason for that is that today I want to focus on the third aspect. But in short, if a person wants to improve the verbal aspect, how does he do it? Number one, that it is the necessary quality in terms of tajweed. If a person's tajweed is weak, because maybe when he was young he didn't get the opportunity to learn tajweed, or maybe he did but it happens sometimes that a person doesn't pay attention to rules over time, then he should correct it. That is the first way to improve the verbal aspect. The second way to improve the verbal aspect is to bring your recitation and your dhikr in line with the Quran and the Sunnah, the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as much as possible. And we will go into more detail in this. For example, you are performing two rakats before Fajr Salah, the two rakats of Sunnah. So in the two rakats of Sunnah before Fajr Salah, you have recited Surah Fatiha. That is according to Sunnah. After that, you will recite a surah. You will recite some verses of the Quran. That is according to the Sunnah as well. But if you want to make it closer in line with the Sunnah, you will find out that were there any specific surahs the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a habit of reciting in the Fajr Salah, in the Sunnahs before Fajr Salah. And we will have a separate discussion in detail on this, which surahs are mentioned, etc. But for example, one combination Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commonly recited in the two rakats Fajr before Sunnah, the two rakats Sunnah before Fajr, was قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ in the first rakat and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ in the second rakat. Now if you begin reciting this, the verbal aspect of your salah has become closer to the Sunnah. So your salah has increased in dhikr. Similarly, you go in ruku. So one aspect of the Sunnah is that we read Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in ruku. Another aspect of the Sunnah is that we read the correct number of times, three or then anything more, but in an odd number. And then there is an aspect above that as well, which is that in ruku, similarly in sajda, in certain other postures, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us other du'as as well. So where we can to bring these du'as into your salah, we'll make your salah closer to the Sunnah verbally. But we will have a lengthy discussion. I have mentioned that in a nutshell. That will come in one of the later lessons. Today what I want to focus on is the mental aspect, the aspect of the heart and mind. But before we go on, understand this, that all three aspects are linked. If you just try to work on one aspect and ignore the other two, you will not be successful. What you do physically affects what is going on in the heart and mind. What you do verbally also affects what is going on in the heart and mind. All of these things are linked. So for example, that is why one thing that the ulama mentioned as a very easy point, because from one aspect, the aspect of the heart and mind is the most difficult. Why is it the most difficult? Because physical actions are totally within your control. You can perform a posture exactly as you want to perform it. Unless a person has some physical ailment, he's old, etc., so he struggles with some aspect, with sitting properly, etc. Other than that, a person can get his salah very, very close in line with the sunnah, without much effort. The same goes for verbally. But the heart and the mind is not always fully within a person's control. A person starts salah, although we'll discuss ahead, there are some techniques that will help a person to concentrate. But a person starts salah and he is concentrated, and some thought crosses his mind. Maybe he has some important task the next day. It's exam season, he has an exam the next week. And so he didn't do it intentionally, but a thought crossed his mind and drifted him away. And before he realized, two rakats were finished. And he was busy in the, he was busy thinking about that exam. So the heart and mind is not fully within your control. When it's not fully within your control, then it's, you can say, the most difficult aspect to of dhikr to bring into your salah. So if a person works on the verbal and the physical aspect, this will aid the mental aspect as well. So that is the first point. The second point is that mentally, concentrating in your salah, in other words, revolves around two things. The first thing is focusing on Allah Ta'ala. How does a person focus on Allah Ta'ala? And the second thing is, how does a person avoid distractionary thoughts coming into his salah? So you can say the positive is the aspect we want to focus on Allah Ta'ala, and the negative aspect that we want to avoid is other thoughts coming into our salah. So everything will revolve around these two. So I will first discuss, as part of the talk, the fundamental points, and then inshallah in the lesson we will go into more detail. So one fundamental point in salah is that a person focus that I am standing in front of Allah Ta'ala. And look, nothing happens overnight. Everything takes time. It takes mashq, training, doing it yourself. You keep doing it. You sleep, you carry on doing it. You sleep meaning that a few salahs pass and you really struggle to concentrate. Sometimes it happens that you are focusing on concentrating and then something else occupying your mind, and a whole week passed and you thought, I didn't even bother worrying about concentrating my salah. These things happen. But a person has to make continuous effort, and over time, if he follows these guidelines, he will see the quality of his salah improving. So one thing is that a person makes an attempt to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am standing in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that innal musalli yunaji rabba, that the musalli, the person performing salah, is having a private conversation with Allah ta'ala. And when you have a private conversation, when you have an ordinary conversation with someone, he's paying attention to you. When you have a private conversation with someone, then you do it in a low voice. When you do it in a low voice, then the person to make sure he hears you properly, he pays even more attention to you. If necessary, he might even put his ear next to your mouth. So he's totally focused on it. He makes sure that he's not getting distracted by background noise. So and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that Allah Ta'ala becomes totally focused towards a person. Another hadith which we've already discussed, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah Ta'ala turns his face towards that person. Now Allah Ta'ala is not a human. But when someone turns the face towards you and they look directly at you, that means all the attention is on you. That means all the attention of Allah Ta'ala is on the person. The person focuses on this, that Allah Ta'ala, who is the greatest. Unfortunately, this reality that unfortunately we don't, yes, alhamdulillah, we believe in Allah Ta'ala and we have some level of ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, but we need to increase our ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. The ulama and the aslaf have explained that the ta'alluq a person has with Allah Ta'ala is of two, there's two aspects to it. There are two aspects of one's relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And this if a person focuses on this in salah, then then slowly but surely his concentration will develop. The first aspect of a person's ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala is the fact that is one of reverence. That I am nothing and Allah Ta'ala is everything. I am as humble as a servant who has nothing in my power. And Allah Ta'ala is in control of everything. I can't do anything without the will of Allah Ta'ala. And in an instant, Allah Ta'ala can destroy me if he wants. So if a person, he gets the opportunity to meet an important person, someone of a high stature, prime minister, president, someone else. So worldly status in reality is no status. Or maybe deeni status. A person who has understanding of deen, he gets the opportunity to meet a very senior alim and he gets told, this is the Shaykhul Hadith of so-and-so, great Darul Uloom. This is the senior most mufti in the country. Then automatically his behavior changes. If he's a person of understanding, you don't need to tell him that, you know, when you go there, you need to tell a child that when you go there, don't look around here and there. This is how you meet him. Adult, you don't need to tell him that. He'll automatically be focused on that person. He won't be thinking here and there. In fact, if you tell him that, you know, when we were there, someone else was messing around in the side. Did you remember? I didn't know what was going on. But I was busy focusing on the person whoever it was. Why does that happen? That happens because you have reverence for the person. The greatness of the person is in front of you. Now, the greatness of any human, never mind worldly status, in reality, worldly status is no status. But even a person has a very high deen status. He's the greatest alim. He's a Nabi. Never mind a Nabi, he's our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of the prophets. His status is nothing compared to the status of Allah ta'ala. So if a person focuses on this, that I am standing in front of Allah ta'ala, then automatically this will bring concentration. But this requires practice, like we said. This requires practice, and we will also discuss that this requires practice. And this focus person, initially he will sleep, he will have to come. And the other thing this requires, which will aid this, is that other than salah, outside salah, he endeavors to bring the reverence of Allah ta'ala in his life. To bring the greatness of Allah ta'ala in his heart. How does he do that? So that we'll have a discussion on inshallah. In reality, that deserves a whole another set of lessons. But let me give you an example. One thing, for example, a person can do, which every person can do, which over time will increase the reverence of Allah ta'ala in his heart, is that when he has a chance and when he is outside, then focus on some aspect of the creation of Allah ta'ala. For example, focus on the sky. And when you focus on, when you look at the sky, then focus on the aspects of the sky that show the greatness of Allah ta'ala. For example, the beauty of the sky. When on a clear day, clear day. But it's one color. It's one color. It's the same color. In summer we see it multiple times. But despite that, every single time you look, it looks beautiful. And then if you go further into it, that in that sky protects us from so many harmful things that come through. Science is slowly, slowly understanding this. It protects us from so many harmful things that come through. But despite that, it's such a heavy brick wall. Ordinarily, for protection, you need something heavy, you need something thick. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something that stays up there on its own. It lets what we really need in, which is light and heat, it lets that in. And everything that is harmful for me, it doesn't let it in. Many of these aspects you will know better than me. And then you can further think that, you know, these clouds, one cloud has so much water. If you were to gather it up, it's possible one cloud would equal tons of water. Still stays up there. Designed in such a manner that it stays up. Yeah, the science will say it's because, but it's been designed like that, hasn't it? That is just one, another time when you get a chance, then focus on a tree. If you focus and you start thinking, then automatically these points will come to your mind. You don't need to be someone scientific or someone intellectual. Because Allah Ta'ala has made the universe in such a way that a person with a simple-minded person can focus on it and his reverence of Allah Ta'ala will increase. That's one purpose of the universe being created. So one effect of this is that in general, reverence of Allah Ta'ala will increase in your heart. And the other effect of that is that next time you stand in salah, the reverence of Allah Ta'ala is greater in your heart, so you'll be able to focus on Allah Ta'ala more. So we will discuss this in detail, but focusing in salah is not a case of do this in your salah and bus. No. Do this in your salah. Do this before your salah. Do this after your salah. And outside your salah, you should also be doing this. It's a full package. So one aspect of our ta'alluq and relationship with Allah Ta'ala is reverence. And this is one thing a person should focus on in salah. The other aspect of our relationship with Allah Ta'ala is love for Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the beloved and we are the lover of Allah Ta'ala. In reality, every mu'min has some level of love for Allah Ta'ala. That is why when someone says something ill about Allah Ta'ala, he becomes enraged. But you become enraged when you have feeling for someone. Someone says something about a total stranger. You hear in the news that this person said this insult to this person. You don't know what that person... It doesn't make a difference. Someone says, so you hear someone say something about your parents, the feeling is totally different. Why is the feeling totally different? Because you have love for them. So in the same way, every human has love for Allah Ta'ala. But here as well, the more the love for Allah Ta'ala increases, the more in salah a person will be able to focus on that aspect. That Allah, every person enjoys spending time with his beloved. It's just spending time with his beloved is beloved to every person. And the more love he has for that person, a child who has true love for his parents, he doesn't go to his parents' house just because Deen has told us to do so. Oh, I have to do the khidmah and I have to ask. No, he goes to his parents perhaps because he looks forward to seeing them. The parents, they look forward to seeing the children, not just because we need this task to be, you know. No, because they have love for them. So they look forward to, even if the child has no reason to come, no other purpose, just the child coming makes the parents happy. The lover likes to spend time with his beloved. So salah is an opportunity to spend time with the beloved. But a person has to focus on this aspect, because we can't see Allah Ta'ala. So our focus will help us to experience that feeling that we are with the beloved. And that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Qurwatu ayni fi salah," that the coolness of my eyes, meaning my most enjoyable time is in salah. Why was that? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's love for Allah Ta'ala was of the highest level, and his consciousness of it was of the highest level as well. So when he was in salah, then he fully had this feeling that I am spending time with Allah Ta'ala. So why would he not enjoy himself? So, but this requires focus. And like I said, this requires an effort in salah and an effort outside of salah. If you carry on with that example of focusing on the sky, so through focusing on the sky, a person has understood the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Now he can take it a step further, and through that he can also, his love for Allah Ta'ala can increase as well. How? He can tell himself that Allah Ta'ala created this sky for my benefit. The system of the clouds is there because Allah Ta'ala knows that I need water. Allah Ta'ala knows that I need water. The sky is there and it protects from harm because Allah Ta'ala is trying to protect me from harm. It's beautiful because Allah Ta'ala wants me to look up and feel happy. So all of it it's been created for my benefit. And it's a masterpiece. But despite that, it's been created for my benefit. It's a masterpiece, but it was given to me for free. Allah Ta'ala didn't say, "Chalo, the portion of sky above your house at least will charge you for that." Or not even, if you do good deeds, then that sky will protect you from the harmful rays. If you don't do good deeds, then the sky won't protect you to the same level. No, it's not like that. So this is just, I'm just explaining one aspect so you understand. But in salah, a person focuses on this, that I am standing in front of the being who I have the most reverence for, the greatest ruler, and number two, I am standing in front of the beloved. And the more this focus that increases, the easier it will be to focus in salah. That is the fundamental aspect. Everything else is built around that. Everything else will aid this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice upon this. Ameen. Wa khairu da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Turn the bottom. How many minutes do we have left? 14.